done both.
Even Jack White.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, that's true.
Jack White's been doing all sorts of stuff. And you're like, this guy might be the greatest musician of our time.
Well, part of it is all the great musicians are in Nashville. That's where just everybody is. I mean, the pop music is coming out of there. You know, Taylor Swift was the first to sort of cross over the other direction.
That was the whole premise behind, oh God, what's the name of the show the Foo Fighters put on HBO? Sonic Highways.
Yeah.
Sonic Highways? That was the whole premise. They were just like there and saw everybody around. It's like, oh God, we should do this in a bunch of different cities. And so they ran into Zach Brown in Nashville. That episode's awesome. Those two guys figuring out that they're both really good at guitar and hang out together and actually blend. Some good stuff.
I like when the genres bang.
Yeah.
And someone jumps on a record and you're like, wait, that person's on that record? That doesn't... Oh, that sounds really great.
Well, on A Sailor's Guide to Life, all of a sudden I'm listening to a song. I'm like, wait, I know these lyrics. I know this song. Like, oh, this is In Bloom by Nirvana.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And with pedal steel and everything. I mean, and full horn section. And I'm like, oh my God. Amazing.
Frank Pellico played that on the organ
a couple weeks ago
at a Blackhawks game. And I was sitting there like, I was like, oh my God. It's like, that sounds great on a hockey organ. This sounds really great on a hockey organ.
That's good. Good for Frank.
It's a good moment for me. I enjoyed the hell out of that as I'm sitting there watching the Blackhawks. I get to mention the Blackhawks because we had made a rule on the show that while things were going good for the Blackhawks, we weren't going to talk about them.
Oh.
Since we decided that we're not going to talk about them, things have been going real bad for them. Guys are hurt and sick and bad and stuff. So we'll talk about them a little bit today.
Interesting timing on Leonard's illness, huh? It's just right after he's screaming at the defense, all of a sudden he just happens to be unavailable. He's just sick. He can't play.
He's
I don't know.
Got a thing. So he's got a whole thing.
And how'd you like to be the Bauer rep? Corey.
Oh, right. He changed out his leg
Corey
pads.
Corey Crawford switches over to Bauer leg pads after a career with CCM. One period, he swaps them out.
See, boys.
Seriously, if you're the
can I get my old stuff back, please?
Right. Go to my car and get my old stuff. How about that? I've never seen that before.
That's so great. So I listened to the show today. I enjoy Sage Rosenfels quite a bit. It's funny, the question that you asked him, Dan. Because the question about kicking in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because I enlisted an expert. I did yesterday after the show, I talked with Patrick Manley about that very subject.
And nobody can make a kick.
Why can't kickers kick? So today around 12:20, you're going to hear that conversation. Like we're going to get into the weeds of kicking and special teams play. I'm kind of excited. I don't know if Herbie is, like, I'm thinking about calling this, like, Ask an Expert. Like, maybe we do something like this once a week or once a month where we get, like, one particular subject and just go in on it.
That makes sense.
But spending a few minutes with Patrick and him talking about it, and I will say that one of the things that Sage said appears in what Patrick said.
Now I got to go hear this.
I don't want to spoil the Patrick Manley stuff. I don't know if it's this or not, but the mere fact that NFL teams hadn't really employed specialist coaches for the bulk of its history is crazy to me. I mean, I did a lot of work in baseball and have been around that sport a little while. And
there's a guy for everything.
There is. There's a guy for everything. There's a guy wandering around to each one of your minor league affiliates to talk to the fast dude about base stealing. And not just like how to go from first to second without getting thrown out. It's your first two steps off the bat. Mm-hmm. That guy comes around once every other week.
There was a guy when I was working in the Royals organization who came by. I forgot his name. And he was a roving infield instructor. And one time he came by and all he wanted to do was work with the middle infielders on the double play turn.
Yep.
That was it. He just like the angle of your hips, depending on where the throw is, how to make yourself more available for the throw, how to catch it closer to where your arm is already back. You don't have to bring it back in. And it was really instructive. Like I watched the whole thing. And I was like, oh, I never thought of that before. I didn't know that before. And some of these players had, I asked him after, they said, no, we'd never. Nobody ever told us that in Venezuela. You know, we just did it. Nope. Now you're being shown how to do it.
Meanwhile, Patrick Manley, Robbie Golden, whoever was the holder for him over 10 years, were packing themselves into a Volkswagen,
Brad
driving
Maynard.
Themselves down. Yeah, whichever guy it was, the three of them are strapping themselves into a Volkswagen, driving down a Soldier Field, just
that's,
alone, by
that's
themselves.
That's actually... A guy I want to talk to. You're listening to WSCR HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, radio.com sports station.
Who, Maynard?
Yeah. It's one of those things where I could ask an expert again.
Brilliant guy.
One of the things I loved about watching those guys, like getting the access of watching practice, especially down in Bourbonnais, and I'm sure that just about every holder could probably do this, but standing 3 yards from Brad Maynard and watching him catch and set with one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just clearly you guys have been practicing, and then you get bored and you're like, okay, I wonder if I can set the ball properly with one hand. And then you're like, oh, I can. In a pinch, you might need to do that for a particular reason. But that those three guys as a special teams unit, you really didn't have to worry about anything. Because they had seen everything.
Have you ever talked to Pat about Maynard being a game clock savant?
That doesn't shock me either.
It's super cool.
He's like, it's like out of Rain Man, where depending on where the play clock is, like he can calculate exactly how many seconds you would have left based on when you take your timeouts. He can back time everything and do all and just spit out. And I'm like, here's when you want to call timeout. If you want this number of seconds on the clock, or if you want this number of timeouts, and he could give you every permutation just in a glance.
Guys like that are really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are a bunch of bunch of teams that kind of employ a guy like that. But I often wonder in the moment, and particularly with Nagy, I wonder how often that guy can actually get to him and be like, hey.
He should have an override button somewhere to be able to just like stomp over any other voice in his ear. Right?
Time out, dumbass. Do this and do it now.
I want to mention we're $21,000. We are closing in. That's 21 kids
awesome.
That we're going to send to camp. But don't stop now, boys and ladies, that we need to get to 25 to trigger that match. And I will let everybody know via Twitter when we get it.
That is Dan Bernstein. He does great stuff for One Step Camp. Appreciate that. That is Connor McKnight. You hear them every day, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on The Score. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, and more. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. This hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Open with some Jodeci, you said, huh?
Yeah, you know, Herbie is already starting to put his whole thing on the show.
I like it.
So,
when I called the Bayou Classic over the weekend, there was an offensive lineman, the right tackle for Southern. His name was Jodeci Harris. So the very first opportunity I got, it was like me and Charles Arbuckle called the game with Todd Harris. First opportunity we got where Jodeci Harris made a good block, said his name. We had to get into it real quick. I don't know how many. Well, watching the Bayou Classic, that demographic got it.
I understood that reference.
But a standard college football game, maybe a certain percentage, wouldn't quite know what we were doing.
That's probably why he was named
that.
Yeah,
exactly. You can only imagine which song was being played at the point of impact. to use a term I can get away with in the moment.
Make me a bicycle clown.
I'm so glad this show hasn't stopped being stupid. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I am here with you until 2 o'clock today. We have a lot of good stuff coming up for you on today's program. The executive producer of this fine program is Herb Lawrence. Mike Chen is going to hang out today. So this is 2 weeks in a row that Mike will be here for the things you think you know about the NFL. We're going to do that around 12:40. You heard me talking with Dan and Connor about Patrick Manley. We had a conversation about the importance of special teams and specifically about kicking and why kicking in the NFL is so bad. And we got some numbers to break some of that stuff down with you. So we're going to do that in the next segment. But we start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
The Rundown are the stories that we are keeping an eye on and like to share with you here to start things off. This is kind of interesting. Cole Hamels went on the White Sox Talk podcast with Chuck Garfine and talked about how he thinks he might be a good fit in the White Sox rotation.
That's kind of what we've been really trying to point out is just how somebody can complement the other pitchers in the rotation. Being left-handed is really helpful. How you line up in that division. I've had pretty good success with the teams in that division. At times, but just now looking at where teams, who they have in their lineups and what they don't do well against. That's how you want to base your rotation off of.
Now, to me, this feels like a guy who's like, look, there's a market out there for me. That might be a good place for me to land, and I might be able to get the top of what I think I could earn in 2020. Herbie, what's it sound like to you? You're a resident White Sox person.
I think he's auditioning or at least sending his name out there for the White Sox. I'm sure his agent's already done so, but like that sounded like he was trying to say, you know what, you guys don't have any lefties. Rodon's not coming back until July. I'm a little crafty veteran. Kidding, you like old people. Come on through.
Does it sound as if, like, should we look at the way the Grandal thing went down and now here's Cole Hamels talking about the South Side and have the White Sox, as far as their reputation around baseball, are things changing slowly?
I think that people know that the White Sox can't fail again, especially with big money free agents. And so they have a lot of money. So Cole Hamels is like, you know what? I made $20 million last year. I can get a shaving of that. But also, there's a team out there that needs a left-handed starter. Let them overpay me like they overpaid Yasmani Grandal. I'm not complaining that they did that. They gave him an option, and they said, hey, there's a lot of money, and that's why he signed it early November.
Sure. And you kind of have to do that if you're them.
I'm sure that all the rest of the free agents said, wow. All right, the White Sox ain't playing around anymore. Let me go and lobby myself for their services. My services for them.
And I don't have to change where I live.
Perfect.
I got this condo or whatever he has, and I could just go to the ballpark every day.
I live over there in Eugenie Terrace. You know, I can stay there.
Just jump on Lakeshore Drive. Come on through. Once you get past Roosevelt, easy.
Car won't break down.
That's right. Let's hope not. All right, then let's talk about the Blackhawks. Things are bad for the Blackhawks.
Taves, in his 900th NHL game, will not be a memorable one for the Hawks captain or very many of his teammates either. They generate 37 shots on goal, looking for another here. Canes tapped it off. Allen stopped it. So Patrick Kane's scoring streak will expire at 15 consecutive games with a point. The Blackhawks get no points tonight, and they are defeated 4-0 by the defending champions.
Yeah, Hawks lose 4-0 to the Blues. Jake Allen stops 38. Hawks, 6 losses in their last 7 games after a 4-game win streak in which we were like, we're not going to talk about the Hawks because they're streaking. But now that they're losing, we can talk a little bit more about them. Hopefully we can get them back on the winning ways. 10-12-5 overall. Lots of injuries last night. Shaw, Strome, Keith, Leonard. Guys are either hurt or sick. Either way, they got housed by the St. Louis Blues. We move on to the Bulls. The Bulls won a game last night. I mean, they tried to give away a lead, but they didn't give away the lead. And Zach LaVine kind of put the nail in the coffin.
Check out website LaVine. 4-3. Bam! Onions! Baby onions! Zach LaVine for 3, and it's a 7-point Bulls lead with 1:10 left.
Can they be baby onions if you've been in the league for 6 years? Asking for a friend. All right. So Zach LaVine plays great in that game. He's got 28 points. The return of Lauri Markkanen, 20 points for him. And the Bulls, this I thought was the most important stat. 25 of 29 from the free throw line last night. Zach LaVine says it's good working that two-man game with him and Lowry.
I mean, we just been trying to encourage him. We know he's been going through a rough patch, but, you know, Lowry got to be Lowry. Sometimes, you know, we got to, you know, even with an offense, be ourselves. I don't think we played two-man game enough, and I think we did that a lot better today. Plays a pick and rolls. I found him, you know, if his man was helping off of me. And it got him going in rhythm. He got going early, and, you know, we're just happy to see him, you know, get a 20 ball. Hopefully he breaks his little funk because, you know, we know how much we need him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice to see aggressive marketing last night. Let's hope that he doesn't go away for another 4 weeks like what happened at the beginning of the season. Bulls win 113-106. You heard the highlights right here on The Score. Last night, if you were a Bears fan, there were a couple of moments where you're like, really? This is going to happen? But guess what? The Seahawks have left that playoff door open a crack for you after beating the Vikings last night.
Penny in the backfield, Metcalf, far side wide, Russell's got time, he's got David Moore wide open, Moore makes the catch, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Seahawks! From 60 yards, Russ looked up, saw David Moore running right past Xavier Rhodes, and said, here you go, serves it up on a platter, and the Seahawks are on top, 26-17.
That highlight is courtesy of KIRO-FM. You're kind of a secondary Seahawks fan if you want the Bears in the playoffs the next couple of weeks. They beat Minnesota for you. That's helpful. Now they play the Rams, and then after that they play the Panthers. You're like, well, the Panthers? Look, they've got 7 losses. Get them to 8, and then they're out of the discussion completely. You don't have to worry about weird tiebreakers or anything like that. So they're your secondary team. And the Vikings... Do you trust them? Like, real talk. Herbie, drop the music. Do you trust the Vikings? Do you trust Kirk Cousins? That's the great part about this. The other question is, do you trust the Bears? And I think we all know the answer to that.
I mean, I was talking with Adam Szczęsny today. The other scenarios outside the Bears are doable.
Yes.
Believable.
Absolutely.
The Bears scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here's the thing about this is that while Bears fans will have to secondarily root for the Seahawks, it also means you're going to have to root for the Packers eventually. If things go right, if everything goes right, you're going to have to root for them and then take care of your own business against the Vikings. That's all you care about right now. All you care about is catching the Vikings. And guess what? At 6-6 and 8-4, with you having a game with them and for some reason the Vikings can't beat you, it's still possible.
Here we go, yo.
That's the scenario. All right, we can bring back the music if we want. All right, so that's it. We're going to have a longer conversation about this later on in the show, about whether or not it's a good thing if the Bears make the playoffs. Because there is an argument against them making the playoffs, which we will discuss later on in the show. But I promised you some in-depth stuff, so I'm going to give you some in-depth stuff. When we come back, I had a conversation with Patrick Manley about kicking, about special teams, and why kicking in the NFL is so bad. I got some numbers that I want to throw your way that are going to blow your mind. I'm going to do that. I'm going to let you hear from Patrick Manley. We're going to do that next on The Score.
Fans, it's Chuck Swirsky and Bill Winnington. This is the home of Bulls basketball, and it's where Lawrence Holmes talks Bulls weekdays noon to 2, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, an official radio home of the Bulls.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. Old Trapper, what's your beef? In an attempt to recapture past glory, glory being a relative word, Rutgers University is about to throw an 8-year contract worth $4 million a year at former coach Greg Schiano. Schiano coached at Rutgers for 11 years and went to bowls in 6 of his last 7, including an 11-2 season in 2006. But that was when Rutgers was in the second-tier Big East, and Schiano was able to combine week 9 conference schedules with reasonable conference success, 25-24, to become an icon at Rutgers. He then failed miserably coaching in Tampa Bay and now takes over a Rutgers program that is 7-45 in in 6 seasons in Big Ten play. To say Rutgers has floundered in the Big Ten is a vast understatement. Now the school's throwing huge money at Schiano, hoping he will be the savior. I'm John Feinstein.
You all right, John?
Hi, I'm...
Now you can make your home perfect for this year's holiday card with furniture and decor from HomeDepot.com. With everything from linen couches to luxurious throw pillows, you know that holiday card is going to be flawless. Well, as long as nobody blinks this year. Save up to 40% on furniture.